If you have your Bible, turn tonight to Malachi chapter 1. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 1. And the Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help on this thought, what true love is. Amen? What true love is. As we look at this text here, and we see Malachi's speaking to the nation of Israel, and they've come to a point that they're saying, well, God, because of all that's happened to us, we just think that you don't love us. We thank God that you don't care for us like you should. Amen? But God begins to speak through Malachi here, and he begins to give him a rebuttal, if you will. And he gives through four chapters of the book of Malachi, we see those different places that God rebukes those people. They rebukes that comment that God, "I just don't think God loves me." And you know what? I hear a lot of people say that time and time. "Well, I just don't think God loves me." Or if he was a loving God, I want to say God loves you just like God loves me. God loves mankind. He loves humanity with God, with a godly love, but my Bible tells me that he's immutable, and that love can't change. Amen. You think about that tonight, that the love of God can't change, no matter how rotten and no account we are. Amen. He still loves us the same. Amen. He'll do something. He'll put us through something to get our attention. He'll show us that love. Amen. Manifest it to us in many different ways. But we see in Malachi's rebuttal here, and I want to give you about five places in here as we go through this book on a Wednesday night. It would do us good just to see how God begins to speak to Malachi, to speak to me and you. You say, well, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. Sure he is, but anything God has for them, he's got for us too. Amen. It'll help our heart along the way. So we see Malachi begins to speak, and he says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. The Lord said, I do love you. And the reason you are where you are is because I loved you. He said, who do you think brought you out of captivity? He said, who do you think delivered you? He said, it was God that loved you. Who do you think brought you out of captivity? Who brought you out of your sins? Who showed you as a sinner in need of a Savior? It was God Almighty. He's the one done that. He loved you enough to bring you to a place where he showed you that love, and that he showed that you as a sinner in need of a Savior, and he saved you from hell. I'm glad he come to me and showed me I was no sinner. I'm glad he helped me in my to come to myself, come to my senses, and realize that I was no sinner in needing of a Savior. I needed help. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And God loved me enough to where he come to where I was. Praise God. But notice what he does. He gives a rebuttal here, and we see it in verse 6. And he rebukes them here for a spiritless worship. Amen. He loved them, but he said, you know what? He said, you're worshiping them, you're worshiping, but he said, it's a spiritless worship. He said, there's no spirit in it. He said, you're basically just working while worshiping in the flesh. I wonder how many times we come in and we just worship in the flesh, and there's no spirit in it. Amen. Because we don't come seeking the Lord what we can get from him. We don't come seeking that help that he has for us to encourage us, so we can get excited about the things of God, so other people might get excited too. You know, when a Wednesday night service, Brother Bill, is an ideal, because we don't know what we've been through today. I don't know what you've been through. You don't know what I've been through. Amen. We don't know what we had to endure today. Now Sunday comes along, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, most of us got a, you know, we have like a Friday we work, and then Saturday you're off, and you have kind of time to get over that. Amen. You have time to get over it a little bit before you come to church on Sunday, so that you can, praise God, worship a little bit. Can you kind of put that work week behind you? Amen. All the aggravation and the frustration, praise God, so you can come in the house of God and worship. But Wednesday night, praise God, you've been at it all day. You've fought the grind, you fought the traffic, you fought the bosses, you fought the conflict, and you come to the house of God and you come wore out. Amen. You come wore out, you come dragging, praise God, and if we ain't careful, we'll come in a pretense of worship. But ain't it good, praise God, when you come to the house of God on a Wednesday night, praise the Lord, and you come to get fed, praise God, you come to get rebooted, you come to get refreshed, praise God, and you go out of here shouting. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I guarantee if you come for the right reason, praise God, you'll go out excited. You go about and come. We come dead. We come beat down, praise God. But I believe just about every Wednesday night we go out of here shouting. Go out of here with a praise. We go out of here with a lighter step. But he said there's a spiritless worship here. He said in verse 6 of Malachi 1, he said, the son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despiseth my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, ye offered polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? I'll offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? He said, you come with a false spirituality. He said, you offer up things to God, amen. That's not spiritual at all. He said, would you offer the same thing to the governor? Amen. He said, if the president of the United States come be with you, come in a meeting with you, praise God, would you act the same way if he was here? Amen. He said, no, he said, it'd be a different spirit about you. Amen. There'd be an excitement because you'd be thinking you was in the presence of royalty. But how much more in the presence of a holy God? Amen. Praise God. He said, you offer up that's blind and sick and praying lame. He said, it's just evil. It's wickedness. He said, now I pray you beseech God that you will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? He said, are you just doing it in the flesh? Are you doing it, praise God, for the glory of God? That God may be uplifted, that people might be excited and stirred in their hearts because of what God has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what true love is. What God has already done. And we ought to be praising and worshiping Him in the Spirit. Praise God. In spirit and truth because what He's done and what we know. Amen. Amen. Be excited about it. So who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. He said there's no spiritual in it. There's no spirituality in it. Amen. It's a spiritless worship. He said you're just, in other words, what he said, he's saying here, he said we're just going through a ritual. He said you've become so callous that you're going through a ritual. In other words, what he's saying to us in our churches, we've got a routine. And we fulfill that routine. We've got it down to a science. We can come into the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and don't even have to think about what we're doing. We get up and we do our thing, praise God, without any thought of God or godliness. God, without any thought of, praise God, while we're here. We're here, praise God, to be excited, to get closer to the Lord, to get the Word of God ingrained in our heart, that we might not sin against God, but that we be enriched by His Word. Amen. But He said you just shut up the doors of that. It's like the spirituality, praise God, you just leave it outside. Amen. Praise God, we ought to bring it inside and leave that old person outside. Amen. Amen. We ought to come in and feed that spiritual man. And if we feed the spiritual man, we'll starve that physical man. That's what we need to do. Starve him out, praise God. But He said there's no spirit of worship. He said, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering, for My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, praise God, if you won't worship Me in spirit and truth, He said, I'll find Me somebody that will. Amen. You know, God's always looking for somebody to worship Him and give Him praise. Amen. He longs for praise. He longs. That's why He created us, by the way, that we might praise Him and give Him glory as the good God of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, but you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even His meat, is contemptible. Amen. He said, you've disallowed things, God. You've disallowed the power of God, the might of God, the praise of God. Amen. And there's no spirituality in you. Amen. He said, you think God don't love you. He said, God loves you, or He wouldn't put up with it. Amen. He just snuff you out. But He said, God loves you, praise God, and He's trying to encourage you, amen, not to just be caught up in a ritual, in a routine, praise God, but in a true worship and a praise of God. We ought to come to get in, not come to get out. Most time we come to get in, we come to get out. We say, oh me, on Sunday morning, say, well, it's 10 o'clock, at 11, Sunday school will be over. Amen, you sit there and chomp a bit, the Sunday school's over. So now if they'll get done singing, and they'll sit down and be quiet, that preacher will get up there, and then about 12:30, we get out of here. Amen, and you got that, you got your life, but that's what we do. Amen. And we're thinking about getting out of here and getting to the car. Amen. So you can beat everybody out of the parking lot, so you can beat everybody down to the restaurant, so you can get a seat quicker, so you can gobble down your food right quick, so that you can go about your business, and you don't even know what it is, but you need to get at it. And you don't even have time for fellowship. Amen. You beat out just as hard as you can go, amen, going nowhere. We ought to take time, praise God, in a spirit of worship and just worship the Lord for a minute. Amen. Amen. Malachi says, listen, said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong ain't what's wrong with God. It's what's wrong with you. He loves you, but you don't love Him. He said, what true love is what God has for you. Amen. He said, but you don't have any spiritualism. It's a spiritless worship. Amen. And in number two, he says, he said, the reason it is this way is because there's some evil association. Amen. You got some evil associates. You're hanging out with the wrong people. Most of the time, that's why you don't have no spirituality to you. Look over in chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10, he says, have we not all one Father? Question mark. Who's our Father? God's our Father, amen, our Heavenly Father. Hath not one God created us? That same God, our Heavenly Father, He created us, He made us. Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers. He said, why don't we just do what God says to do? You know, it'd be a whole lot easier in our life if we would just do what God's Word says to do. Amen. But, that's what we do. That's that goat syndrome again. Amen. Amen. That's what goats do. They butt. They butt. Amen. But he said, what we got to do is we just need to learn to follow God. But we got all these evil associations, so we can't do that. He said, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. He said, what they've done, he said, they've disallowed the commandments of God, the ways of God, and they've taken strange wives that follow pagan gods. Amen. Unequally yoked. But that ain't even the bad part. Verse 12 said, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth offering the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Amen. He said, in other words, you've messed up so many times. He said, you're trying to cry and weep and act like you're remorseful. And he said, there's no remorse in your heart. There's no godly sorrow for what you're doing. He said, they're caught up in evil associations. And he said, you know you shouldn't be. That's why you're coming with this act of remorse. But he said, you're really not remorseful. Oh, me. Have you ever seen such a country in the world we're living in? People say, they'll say, oh yeah, well, I know that's sin, but praise God, we continue in it with no remorse. We know what's wrong, but then we continue doing wrong. He said, yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? He said, what's happened here? He said, through evil association, he said, you've done put off your wife of your youth. He said, you've done got rid of that one that you made a covenant with, and you're chasing somebody else's. Amen. He said, you've chasing after strange women, and he said, you're chasing after the strange women's gods, and you've got, and through evil association, and you don't even know how to worship God. Said, is there any wonder that there's no spirituality in your worship? Amen. We're living in the world today that everything's okay. But I want to say God says it's not okay. Amen. He said, why have you left the wife of your youth? You've dealt treacherous with. You broke a covenant with her. When you broke a covenant with her, you broke a covenant with God. What he's saying is we need to take this thing serious. Amen. We need to realize why we do what we do, praise God, and take it serious. Because God's watching us. Amen. He sees what we do. We need to be careful. Amen. He said, did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? So he said, he made Adam and Eve, he put them together. God brought this thing, made a covenant in the garden, amen, between a man and a woman, put them together, praise God, and said, this is the way that it's supposed to be. Amen. Amen. And so he said, that's the way it's supposed to be. He said, he could have made more than one, but one said, if he wanted to, but that's the way God designed me. He started it, praise God, so he would raise up holy seed. I was listening to a preacher. I told a fellow in prayer. I was listening to a preacher today. He was talking about these women and men and how they get together and they don't get married no more. They just shack up, amen. They just shack up and some. He said some lady wrote him a letter and said, "I know you'll be honest with you." Said I've been living with this man. Said we've been together for 10 or 11 years and we plan on staying together. I want to know how you feel about that. And he said, well, you know, I love you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. It's sin. She said, well, I need to stay this way. He said, because of our financial situation. See, she had 3 children by 3 different men. So the government gives her a check for each kid. And she said, if we get married, she said, then my checks will go away. But he said, it's not about the money. It's about what's right in the eyes of God. See, God never designed that to be that way. Said he's telling Israel today, but God said, you've left the covenant of God. You've chased strange women. You've taken strange God. You've went the wrong direction. Praise God. He said, and God's trying to bring you back, but you won't come back. You just keep going the wrong way. Kind of sounds like the United States of America, don't it? Amen. There's no repentance. There's no remorse. There's no going back to God in godliness. He said, "Let not let none deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth." He said, "Amen." He said, "We ought to hang on to that first love." That goes all the way back to the church. Amen. We ought to hang on to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. There's no place to be running around on Him. Praise the Lord. We need to be steadfast. Amen. With the good God of glory. He said, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that He hateth putting away." Hello. You say, "Well, Preacher Jeff, you're just meddling." No, I'm just telling you what God says. God says, "I hate divorce." He said, "I hate that stuff." He said, "That's not the way it's supposed to be." He said, "God's people ought to run to God, beg God for help, and let God show up and help." Expecting that He will. But you know what? Pride won't let us do that, will it? Pride won't let us do it. Pride will rise up. He said, because of that, He said, "For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of glory. Therefore take heed to your spirit," amen, "that ye deal not treacherously." He said, we need to pay attention to our motives. See, that young lady was writing that preacher, praise God, she needed to pay attention, take heed to her motives. Why she was doing what she did. It was for financial benefit. Amen. Had nothing to do with godliness. Had nothing to do with God-wordness. It had to do with financial benefits. But I want to say God is bigger than finances. Amen. Amen. God's bigger, praise God. When we make a commitment to Him and we do what's right, God promised us if we'd seek God, praise God, His righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. I guarantee you, if they just get right and do right, praise God, God will bless them. Amen. God will bless them. God will take care of them. He'll take care of those children. He'll bless them. He'll provide. Because that's what God does. But because of evil associations, praise God, they had lost the spirituality in their worship. And then, can you see how it just goes downhill from here? Not only had they lost their spirituality in worship and had evil associations, but they begin to question God's judgment. Ain't it amazing how people mess up, Brother Bill, and they go the wrong way, and then they'll begin to question God? That's like the devil, praise God. He said, "Hath God really said? Did God really mean it that way? You know, man's only supposed to have one wife. Hey, don't he really mean, I had a preacher ask me one time, said, "You know that little boy can get married. Don't that mean one at a time?" I said, "No, it means one, praise God. A covenant between him and God, amen, that's not been broken." Amen. God means what God says. He said they begin to question God's justice. Look at verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Said, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When we say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them," or where is the God of judgment? So saying, "Well, you know, they're not really that bad. Those folks aren't really going too far in the wrong direction. You know, they're not really, we don't want to call them sinners. We don't want to call what they're doing sin. We might hurt their feelings. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, you know, God loves them and you know, He delights in them. They're going to be okay. And even though they're doing evil and wickedly, you know, everything's going to wash out in the end." That ain't the Word of God. Amen. God says when you're doing wrong, you repent. Amen. You confess those sins with a godly sorrow. Amen. And you turn from those and go a different direction. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, you can't keep going in the same direction day after day, time after time, coming out, going back in the same way, going back time after time and expect a different result. Amen. If you keep going at it in the same direction, you're going to get the same result. Amen. If we're going at this thing and we're going to, praise God, time after time in the same direction, amen, you're going to get the same result. Did I say that you're going to get the same result? Amen. You don't get no change till you change directions. If a way ain't working out, or you know it's not pleasing to God, change directions. Then you'll get a different result. And God will get the glory. Amen. But they say, and they was questioning God, they questioned God's judgment. Says, where is the God of judgment? Amen. Said, He ain't a judging these. Well, He is. There's a day of judgment coming. He goes on in chapter 3, verse 1, said, behold, I will send my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me. Amen. The righteous judge. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, shall certainly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now watch this. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Amen. He said he's going to purge and purify and clean. Amen. That's what God does for me and you. Amen. Glory be to God. Ain't you glad he does? I'm glad he don't leave me dirty. He finds me with spots on me, praise God, and God takes me and he cleans me up. He shows me just exactly how to be made clean. I love it. I don't know about you, I like it when God takes me and cleans me up. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, he said, see, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. In other words, he's going to make it pure. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of in righteousness. Amen. He said, I'm going to start with the priests, praise God. I get them cleaned up, and then I'll work my way down to the people, the parishioners. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, we're going to load for bear. We're going to get the word, praise God. We're going to get it established. We'll get people cleaned up, praise God, to be able to carry it forth. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. He said, and then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then they'll be able to go to the house of God and make an offering, praise God. A spirit-filled offering. An offering of worship, praise God, without any evil associations, glory be to God. And they'll be pure offerings. Praise the Lord. We come to the house of God with pure offerings. Praise God and lift up, magnify His name, praise God, with pure hearts, seeking a pure way and pure righteousness, praise God. You'll go out of here with a shout. I guarantee you. But most time we go out here with a pout, don't we? Say, that preacher's preaching on me again. No, preacher's just preaching a book, praise God. I'm just the mailman. Lord be God. Hey, listen, I'm not the one that follows you around knows what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And God knows what you're doing. His Word brings it out, praise God. And all we got to do is listen to what God says. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a mailman. You don't shoot the mailman, praise God. I'm just bringing you good news. You know, a preacher sometimes ain't too good. It is. If it cleans you up and purifies you, praise God. Amen. Glory be God. Then, hey, we don't question God. When God touches us and cleanses us and tries to make us clean and pure, praise God, we ought to shout our shoes off. When God comes to you and shows you something, a direction maybe you're slipping in the wrong direction a little bit, and God brings that to your attention, glory be to God, you ought to just jump up and praise His name. Make it right, and then praise His name. Say, God, forgive me an old sinner. Help me to do better, praise God. And mean it in your heart, you know why? Praise the Lord. Hey, that won't hurt you a bit. Amen. It'll give you a go yonder that you ain't had in a long time. Amen. Have you ever said, I'm sorry? Have you ever told somebody you're sorry? Amen. I've had to do a whole lot of I'm sorry. Amen. I've told people I was sorry for things that they thought I did, and I didn't even know what they was thinking. Amen. 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 You know what I'm saying? Amen. They got puffed up at me for some reason. I don't even know why they puffed up at me, but I would say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry if I hurt you. Sorry if I hurt your feelings, amen. I didn't mean to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he said, they was looking. They was questioning the judgment of God. God's all God's wanting to do is clean them up. He goes on in verse 5, said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. Have you ever noticed God's word is full of sorcerers? God hates sorcery. Amen. And against adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages and the widow and the fatherless and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You say, he said, you know, I got to love you. If I didn't love you, instead of purging you, cleaning you up, praise God, I'd just take you out. But he said, I love you and I'm going to clean you and make you whole. Praise the Lord. Saying, I clean you up and make you whole. You'll quit questioning the judgment of God. You'll get away from your evil associations and you'll have a spirit-filled worship. Amen. You see what old Malachi was trying to do? Malachi, hey, listen, by the way, Malachi's getting them ready for the Redeemer. See, after the book of Malachi, they don't hear nothing from God for 400 years. There's a time of silence for 400 years. And Malachi's are writing to them along with Haggai and Ezra, and he's writing to them in the time of Nehemiah when they was building the wall. They were trying to reestablish the goodness and the godliness of Zion, praise God, where God could be worshipped and praised and reverenced. Amen. So where true love is, it's in God Almighty. So he goes from the question of God's justice, God's judgment, to the question of robbing God. Chapter 3 in verse 8. He says, will a man rob God? Have you ever thought of this? Have you ever preached? Now listen, look up here. Don't read the rest. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Can you imagine some man taking a gun and holding it on God and say, I want all that you got. Can you imagine that? And what if God says, all right, you can have all that I got. He said, all you got to do is take my son. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he said, will you hold a gun? Will you rob God? But listen to what he says. He said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I got to thinking in the study, as Malachi was telling them this, he said, will you rob God? And he said, in tithe. So he's talking about the giving back to God as God gives you. He said, not holding it, not hoarding it, praise God unto yourself, but being a willing giver. Amen. Amen. Being able to give, praise God, so that God can get the glory of tithes and the offering. Amen. We know we give the money, praise God. God blesses us and we give and praise God. We've tried here to outgive Him, but we can't. And He just keeps giving back more so we can give more. So God just keeps blessing and God just blessing and blessing. He's blessing all over the world now. As we got missionaries everywhere we're supporting and helping, praise God, and we're seeing souls saved. But what about the tithes offered? What about what are we doing for God? What are we doing? If we ain't careful, we rob God by not giving Him ourselves, by not presenting ourselves to Him, praise God, as a vessel, our talent, giving Him all that we are, praise God, giving Him everything that we have, giving Him our all in all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever thought it's like the little boy said, and I've used this a bunch of times. He got in the car with mom and dad and they started down the road and daddy was a fussing and said, well, you know, I didn't get much out of that today. And Johnny in the back seat said, well, no wonder daddy said you didn't put but a nickel in. He's talking about getting what you pay for. But what about when we come to worship, and we praise God, and we come to His presence, and we begin to seek Him, and we seek Him with our whole heart, that we might find Him, and that right early. So we can give Him praise and we can see Him magnificent and high and lifted up, praise God, is our God and Savior. Our ever-present help, even in troublesome times. But He said they've robbed God of tithes and offerings. He said you brought a curse upon you. God can't bless you, amen, when you're greedy. Amen. You say, well, praise God, we got to be willing to give of ourselves. We know we give back of what God gives us. We know that. But God's blessing us, He's helping us, and He's encouraging us, praise God. We ought to be pricing that out too. Encouraging others, amen, wanting to be an encouragement. Wanting to come alongside somebody that's down and encourage them, praise God, to just look up. Amen. Amen. No, don't rob God. Let God use us, praise God, for His glory. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour ye out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now notice what he says here. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Amen. That's into God's house. Amen. He said, and that there may meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, bring it to the house of God. Bring all you got to Him, praise God. All you got to the presence of the Lord, and just give it to Him, praise the Lord. And He'll just open up the windows of glory and He'll fill the house full. Amen. Just like He did in Isaiah, praise God, till it's full of the presence of God and they couldn't even get in the door to worship. Because worship was going on. God had filled the house. Amen. Praise God. You want to see God Almighty move. Glory be to God. Quit robbing God. Come to the house of God. Open the door. Come in. Praise God. With praise on your heart. Lifting up the name of the Lord. Excited about things. What God, expecting what God's going to do. Amen. I come expecting every time somebody to get up and take a running fit. Praise God. Lifting up the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Bless His holy name. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. He said, when we just come and submit it all to God, everything that we are, everything we have, say, Lord God, it's yours. Amen. Praise God. It all belongs to you. And God begins to do with it, praise God, what He sees fit. You know, God can take a little and make it go a long way. Amen? He can. Praise God, when we just submit it all to Him. Praise the Lord. We submit it all to Him, praise God, then we'll quit questioning the judges, the justice and the judgment, praise God. We'll get away from those evil associations and we'll have a Spirit-filled worship. Praise the Lord. But then he said, there's something else, he said, Malachi said, I've got a problem with. He said, you're impatient in waiting. He said, you're just so impatient. Amen. You don't have any patience at all. In chapter 3 and verse 17, he says this, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. But now watch this. He said, chapter 4, verse 1, first, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, those that wait patiently on the Lord, those that wait with expectation of something better, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Amen. He says, what's going to happen, praise God? He said, those that wait patiently on the Lord, He said, you've got to have patience. You've got to wait, amen, on the Lord. And while you're waiting, just be patient, expecting till the Lord comes. I want to say, Lord, hey, listen, He's coming. Amen. Praise God. We've waited patiently, expecting till He comes. I didn't say not to be expectant. I said, what we got to do, Brother David, is just be patient. Just patiently wait upon the Lord, expecting, praise the Lord, and He'll show up. And when He shows up, He shows out. Amen. Pours out blessings that we can't even attain. He said, you'll be like with healing His wings. He said, you'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know what happens when a calve, you put him in the stall and you lay the grain to them? They get all fat and sicy. Amen. That meat gets just as tender and sweet. Amen. Glory be to God. And they won't, what happened? They won't for nothing. They get hay carried to them. They get grain. They got plenty of water. Amen. Glory be to God. And they just sit there and eat and dine. Amen. Just happy as a lark. Amen. Just getting fatter and sicier all the time. He said, praise God. That's why God, if we'll just wait patiently on the Lord, He'll show up. And He said, we'll be like calves in a stall. Verse 3, He said, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'll get rid of all that hindrance that's around. All the wickedness of the world. He said, I'll do away with that. I'll get it out of the way. He said, you don't worry about it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. God says that. Amen. We can't take that into our own hands. Had a lady the other night said she was just going to take vengeance in her own hands. But we know better than that, don't we? God Almighty, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will recommend. Amen. God will take care of all the adversary. Amen. So He said, if we just wait patient on the Lord, we won't be robbing God because we've committed everything to Him. We'll quit questioning His judgment. We'll get lose our evil association, praise God, and we'll have a spiritual worship. But then listen to what He says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, He just closes it, pulls it all together. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances. God says, you know what? Now we're talking about what true love is. He said, from the very beginning, you have been disobedient. He said, I gave you direction and said, you've disobeyed the directions. But listen to what He says. He said, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. You tell me that ain't true love? That's what true love is. Amen. He said, all these things is against you, but praise God, when you get straightened up, you get lined out, praise God, and you come back to me and return to me, He said, I'll return to you. And He said, I'll bless you in so many ways. He said, you'll have to like one of them. Amen. He said, I'll love you in so many ways, you'll have to like one of them. He said, I'll be so good to you that you'll have to like how good I am. Amen. Why? Because that's how they said, God don't love us. And He says, oh, so I love you more than you'll ever know. Amen. And He said, I'm drawing you and trying to clean you up and pull you back in my safe so that you can have a good spirit-filled worship, so you can get away from the evil association and quit questioning me, so that you'll quit robbing me and just commit yourself to the Lord, and you can just patiently wait for my appearing. When I'll come and I'll be with you and I'll take you unto myself. And so wherever I am, Jesus said in the high priest prayer, He said, Lord, I want those that you give me to be with me where I am. Amen. That's His desire. Brother Jeff, that's my desire too. I want to be with Him where He is. Don't you?